Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So how are you? Yeah? Amen. Yeah, let's give the worship team a hand. They're awesome. Can you keep... We've been challenging them this summer, huh? Oh, I was challenging the worship team this summer that we're not doing any set lists. So I said, you're allowed one song. You're allowed to have one song and you swirl around that. But other than that, we're building the muscles of spontaneity and prophetic worship. And we might not go back. I don't know. Just see what happens. So I don't know if I have yet. It's been a while since I actually taught. This table is just not sitting big enough for everything. I'm going to teach on worship today. I don't think I've taught or preached on worship in quite a while. And since it's such a huge part of the vision of this house and it is such a huge expression of the Summit culture and the DNA, I really felt it was important to start to lay this foundation, especially with these couple months of us just diving into prophetic and spontaneous worship and not really giving you guys so much to lean on. Pastor Chris sends his love. He's out of town this Sunday. He's in Louisiana. We had an emergency with one of our campuses that he had to fly out real quick on Friday, and he's flying back this afternoon, so he'll be back later tonight. But he loves you guys, and you get me instead. So... Which it does work out. I did tell him the other day, I said, I really feel like I need to teach on worship because there's so many new people coming and there's such a wide variety of backgrounds that I know that a lot of us come into this place and we're like, this is weird, but I know it's right, you know? And a lot of times I feel like when God wants to grow us in an area, it can be uncomfortable at first. But it really is to stretch us, and it's really to grow us. And so as we lay a foundation in worship, are you guys ready to be stretched and grown? You want to grow and mature? So I'm going to talk. I know the topic of worship is a very wide variety, like very general. So I'm going to talk about why we worship the way we do at the Summit. And if you're a super like intellectual person and that tends to be a bondage for you, I'm going to give you a lot of biblical things. For you to be able to grab a hold of and know that it's all biblical. All of the crazy things that we do are in the Bible. How many of you guys, this is your first time here? Is there any? Well, welcome. Thank you guys for coming. Can't see you very well. And how many of you guys, this is like you've been here for maybe a month? This is like you're in the month. You're not in the month. You've been here longer than a month. You've been here for like a year and a half. How many of you have been coming for like 3 months? Awesome. How about 6 months? Look at this. And then over the year people. Raise your hands if you've been here for longer than a year. Wow, see, look at that. Look at, you know what? There was not a majority in any of that. That's kind of crazy. And so it just goes to show that there is such a wide variety of different stages that people are in their expressions in worship. And so I just want to lay the foundation of why we worship the way we worship. And I want to beseech you to worship the way that God intended for us to worship. And I really believe that through worship, God sets a lot of mindsets free. There's a lot of bondages that get broken off. There's a lot of chains that come off just when we worship alone. So let's dive in. As we continue to lay the foundation of worship in this culture, we all know that worship is a huge expression of this church. And let me tell you something. We haven't seen anything yet. We are just on the tip of the iceberg of everything that God wants to pour out in this house, in this city, in the families in this house. Pastor Chris was just, he's in Louisiana, but they drove over to Crestview real quick. Well, it's like a 4-hour drive. Dan Moeller was preaching that. In our Crestview campus. He was preaching at our Crestview campus, and so they went over there to go see him and connect. And one of the things that was a regular occurrence in our church up there. And I know that this takes time to cultivate and dig and cultivate, which is what we're on our journey doing. That's why I say there's so much more to come. But one of Eden's best friends, Holly, who's about a year older than her, so around 7 years old, just started in wailing in travail at the altar during worship. And one of the things that was a regular occurrence was our kids would just start weeping and praying together and shaking under the power of God and worshiping and crying. And you just can't really like move away from that. You have to let God do what he's doing in those moments. Dan Muller didn't even preach. So like there was, which is kind of like, wow, like it's hard just to get him, but they felt such an urgency that like we need to let what's happening happen. And what happens is he starts to spark and revive things in the kids and in the youth and in the adults. And that starts to, so there is so much more to come and things that we're going to see even within these next summer months. I just want you guys to know, like, get ready. Like, our kids are about to encounter revival this summer. We're going to be having, Pastor Chris is going to be, he was supposed to teach in the back, but we were actually conversing. We're like, maybe we should just bring all the kids in here and just have this big Holy Ghost blowout here in the sanctuary. And we'll probably start to continue to do what we did in Crestview. And that was the kids were in worship with us every Sunday morning. And we've done that for years. And we just really felt like God was really putting that on our hearts again, just to maybe reserve a couple rows for them to just worship and get the appetite of the deeper things of God, because they will go after and hunger for what they're fed. And as much as we feed deep theology back there and they're learning the basics and they're learning the foundations, the encounter of worship and the encounter of his presence is one of the things that we value and want to cultivate. And more than anything, we want to value and cultivate family, us doing it together as a family. And so get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm excited for what God's about to do in these next coming up months. But I'm preaching on worship. So why is the summit so extravagant in worship? And for me personally, I know that I can only speak from my own personal experience that I know Jesus went all the way for me. So it's not an option for me to go halfway with him. I made a choice a long time ago that no matter what I felt, no matter whether I liked the song, whether it was my flow of worship, whether the worship leader was off key or not, whether the drummer could keep beat, regardless of what was going on in that atmosphere, I was going to give him everything that he deserves, regardless of what I felt. And that's been my stance ever since. And so a lot of times when I tell people, like a lot of times when I'm up here just worshiping with like passion, I'm not actually feeling a lot. That might be surprising to it because I know I'm really not as spiritual as you think. You know, like I really just want him to have what he deserves. And it's not based off of my feelings or what I'm sensing in the room, or because it's so powerful and thick in here, then I'm going to really worship. It's because he's worthy, period. He's worthy, period. And that's why we give him our everything. He didn't stop halfway up the hill. Sorry, I just can't sit down. He didn't stop halfway up that hill and go, I just don't feel like it today. You know, he went all the way and he persevered and he gave his everything and he would do it over and over and over again, even if I was the only person on this planet, because he loves us that much. So my worship is a choice. It's not driven by feeling. The Bible says to make a joyful noise, all you people, sing a song, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, unless you are an introvert. Oh, no, wait, no, you're right. That's not what it says, actually. Or unless it's not your personality. Or unless it's not your expression. You know, that's not a suggestion. It's a command. And I feel like, you know, a lot of us, our personalities and the way that we, you know, the way we show ourselves or express ourselves a lot of times has to do with how we were raised. A lot of times we love the way we were loved. Or we show passion the way we were shown how to show passion. So a lot of that is our upbringing. A lot of it is our culture. And I will not bend what I was created to do to the culture that I'm in or the way that I was raised. It's going to be according to what this word says. And that is to make a joyful noise and to shout unto the Lord. And nothing's going to hold me back from doing that. And so I just made a conscious choice that that's how I'm going to live my life for the King. And I know that a lot of us in this room, like I had said, you know, maybe this is your first time, or maybe you're just starting to get your feet wet. You're like, this is new to me, this is weird, or maybe you're in here and you're like, I've been here before, but I have been deprived for so long, I don't know how to find that again. And there's so many different places and journeys that are in this room. But if you don't know how, because you've never been there before, I want to encourage you this morning that there is more for you to do. There is more for you to give. I know for me, I remember the first time I shared this a while back. I was at the church. I was like in grade 7, and we were doing like a worship night or prayer night or something like that. And I was just walking on the balcony, and it was my first time. I was by myself up there, and I was just like walking on the balcony. I'm like, okay, I'm going to raise my hand. Oh, my gosh. And I raised my hand like this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm raising my hand. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I hope my parents don't see me. You know, I was like, oh, my gosh. And then, like, from there, it went to this. And then I just went. And then I started freaking out and doing cartwheels and, like, going all one way down the balcony and then all the way back. Whenever nobody was up there, I would just freak out worship dancing for the Lord because I was letting what was on the inside of me come out. And I wasn't holding anything in, but I was doing what my body was created to do and worship him with everything I had, no matter how good I was or no matter how crazy it looked. And I will still always do that. So that's why I look weird. So some of you, this is your first time in this environment. Some of you are really uncomfortable, but you know it's God. Some of you have no clue how to respond and why everyone is responding the way they're responding. So I just want to give us some language this morning. I want to teach a little bit on why we worship this way. John 2, 13 to 17 is the story of when the Passover and the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their table, and he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business." The disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Verse 13, it says that they would go up to Jerusalem every year to where the temple was to bring their Passover sacrifice. The temple was where everybody brought their sacrifices for that year. So up until that point, wherever you lived, you knew that there was going to be a journey that you were about to go on. And all year long, you would be raising up that lamb, or you would be picking out which is going to be the finest lamb for the Lord that I can sacrifice. You would have to feed it. You know, maybe you'd even name it. Maybe the kids liked it. You know, there is a lot of investment made into these animals. And so they would pack up the lamb, they would pack up food for the lamb, food for their family, and go on a journey all the way to the temple to bring their sacrifice of worship. And for some people, like if you lived in Babylon, for an example, it was like 500 miles, so that was like a 2 to 3 week journey just to walk to the temple. From Alexandria to Jerusalem, 316, that's about the same. Antioch to Jerusalem was 7,396 miles, which was about 17 weeks that some people would be journeying on a pilgrimage to go make this sacrifice to the Lord. From Capernaum to Jerusalem was 85 miles, a couple days journey. So everybody was preparing for this big investment into their sacrifice. This big thing was happening in their worship. They were always bringing their best, and it was meant to be a sacrifice. See, any time they built an altar to worship in the Old Testament, they always killed something. Something always was sacrificed. Something was always crucified in themselves. They were selling. So this is the reason why, you know, this, I believe that Jesus was getting so upset, was that when they got, what they started to do is they started to sell the lambs there. And they started to make worship convenient. They started to give an out for people to be able to just come. And all you have to do is buy it when you get here. And we can even exchange some money for you. And they even made a little bit of money on top of their exchange. So not only were they making money off of making it convenient for other people. And Jesus was like, no, worship is meant to be a sacrifice. Mark 11:17 records Jesus saying, "My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it into a robber's den." What were they robbing? They were robbing the opportunity to sacrifice. Not only that, the money changers were making money off of people trying to find a convenient way to worship. They were making worship convenient. And I'll be honest, you guys, as I was praying and like going over my notes this week, I was like, man, you know, as a worship leader, And as somebody that's really, really invested in making sure that we're cultivating an atmosphere where people are encountering God, we have to be very careful that on this platform, we're not making it so easy for you. You know, a lot of times people take advantage, or they don't really, they're not grateful for what they have in their worship services, or they think, oh, you know, we're so lucky, we're so blessed, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is that we actually will do an injustice to you if we don't provoke you to lift your own sound and provoke you to lift your own worship and only rely on what we're bringing. If we're not careful as worship leaders, we will be just like those people. Here, I will go to God for you, and I'll do all of the hard work, and then when you get here, all you have to do is just ride off of our worship that we've been worshiping and cultivating all week, and we'll just put these words up on the screen for you, and then all you have to do is sing them, and then that's our worship service. Shame on us if that's as far as we go, and we're not going to do that. That's why I was like, even this summer, like, we're just going to go spontaneous, and we need to grow, not just as a worship team, but as a congregation. How to worship your own sacrifice of worship. I can't sing your song for you. I can't make your sacrifice for you. I can't lift your voice for you. It's just like that Samuel L. Jackson meme that I really like. That he's like, I said, lift your hands. I was totally one of those people. Has anyone seen that? Yeah, it's really funny. But the reason our worship is so special to the Lord is that we have the ability to choose. Even when it's hard. I really believe that's what worship is we're making the choice to choose him over everything else. You know, when the waves crash on the shore, that sound is a sound of worship to the Lord. When the wind blows through the trees and you hear the leaves going, that's a sound of worship to the Lord. When the birds are chirping, all of creation was created to lift a sound unto the Lord, but we're the only ones that can choose not to. We're the only ones that can say, I don't feel like it. All of creation, all of heaven, the angels, the living creatures, the elders are constantly worshiping. Constantly going around the throne. And I even think about like Eve in the garden. I believe God didn't put that tree there just to say, I wonder if they'll do it. I wonder if they'll do it. He was saying, I wonder if they'll choose me instead. It's not real love if you're forced to do it. And so he wants genuine love from us. He wants genuine relationship from us. And that can only be in place if we have the choice to choose. So worship is our choice to say, I choose you over my circumstance. I choose you over my favorite song. I choose you over my preferences. I choose you over my favorite worship leader. I choose you over my favorite preacher. I choose you over whatever I'm feeling right now. I choose you over my lack of energy that I have. I choose you over my depression. I choose you over all of these other circumstantial things or even internal emotional things or soulish things that are taking me over because you are more worthy. And I choose you. So that's another reason why I make us sing our own song all the time. I don't want it to always make it so easy for you. There is a praise and worship that only you can give, and that will push you to worship your own worship. And guess what? There's going to be uncomfortable moments. I'm about to go through some really awesome biblical Hebrew words for praise that describe why we do everything that we do. But actually instilling these and practicing those can be uncomfortable. It can be a little awkward. But we are digging something. You know, I think about even like last night, Chris, I was watching live stream, but he was also sending me some videos of just all the kids at the altar worshiping and just the atmosphere that we left to come and bring here. And I kept being reminded of the years of cultivating that and knowing that there's a digging in it and a plowing involved and a teaching involved and us knowing that we're going somewhere and we are going to get there. But we are digging and cultivating, like we are making a greenhouse right now with the right temperature, with the right humidity, that when whatever we plant is going to produce fruit. It's going to produce fruit in our kids. It's going to produce fruit in our youth, in our businesses, in our homes, in our families. And when we start to have that personal revival that starts to grow inside of us, it produces fruit and fruit that remains. and it starts to spread around everyone that we know and see. And that's how revival starts. That's how reformation comes. Not from just a good service, but from actual unsaved people looking at saved people saying, you have fruit that I don't have. And I've tried my way for too long and it doesn't work my way. Did you know that you can actually sit down beside somebody and them feel something on you, they start to weep? That there is a presence and a power that dwells on the inside of us as believers, that we can actually shift things in the atmosphere based off of who we know and whose we are, who's on the inside of us. And I believe that the key to all of this is just staying in a place of worship, constantly keeping our eyes, magnifying him instead of magnifying our issues. I've always said, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but I believe that I'm right. I feel like I've never dealt with depression personally because I'm always singing. I didn't read these the first service, but these are actually interesting statistics. Every day in Alberta, more than one person will die as a result of suicide. Approximately 500 Albertans die by suicide each year. The number of patients diagnosed with depression increases by approximately 20% per year. States that have higher rates of depression also have high rates of obesity, heart disease, stroke, and sleep disorders. Individuals that are more likely to suffer from depression are those that are unemployed and recently divorced. God gave us a remedy. Isaiah 61, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. People who sing live longer. Singing is like a bar of chocolate in that it helps produce endorphins, the happiness hormone. Singing induces the body to produce oxytocin, which helps reduce stress. Singing improves your cardiac rhythm, reducing the risk of heart disease. Singing exercises your lungs, causing you to breathe deeply and evenly, with the consequence of proper breathing, which is healthy sound sleep. Singing also strengthens your immunity, increases the concentration of immunoglobulin. Singing even helps your brain develop. If you want a better memory, singing is the best method. Huh. Look at that. A natural remedy that's also spiritual that God gave us. You know, we don't have to separate them, you know. The physical and the natural and the spiritual are not separated. This is a remedy God gave us, is to worship, to lift our sound, to lift our voice. It's not just good for our spirit, it's good for our brain, it's good for our soul, it's good for our body. You have to push past, I don't feel like it. You do have to push past that. Okay, let's jump into these seven words for praise. If you want to write these down. The first one is called Todah. So T-O-W-D-A-H. This is a Hebrew word for praise, and it means to give thanks, confession, praise, thanksgiving, sacrifice, to extend your hands in adoration for blessings not yet received. Like this. It's used 32 times in the Bible. Leviticus 7:12 says, if you present your peace offering as an expression of thanksgiving, or todah, the usual animal sacrifice must be accompanied, blah, 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 blah. So he's just giving those rules, all those rules and regulations, but that word thanksgiving was todah. Also Psalm 50:14, which David sang, offer unto God praise, or todah, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with todah. Ta-da. That's good. Who did that? Was that you? That will always make you remember it now. Yeah. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, or todah, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to bless him and bless his name. So that offering of thanksgiving, and I tell you one thing, if you want to lay a foundation of worship in your household or even in your own personal brain when you come before the Lord, come thanking him first. You know, we come in with so many circumstances that we're just like, wait a minute, let's get right perspective. Thank you, Jesus, that I am breathing still today. I've always said this, like growing up, my sister has glasses and I don't, and I'm so grateful that I have good eyes. And I remember, like, we'd run downstairs to go watch a movie, and we're about to, we got the popcorn, and everything's ready, we got our blankets, and we're about to watch, and she'd go, oh, wait, I need to go get my glasses. And I'd be like, ugh. Or like, look, Sandy, look at that picture over there. And she's like, I can't see it. And I'd always be like, ugh, I'm so grateful that I don't have that problem. But it's honestly, it's caused me to just be like, thank you, Jesus, that I have good eyes. Thank you, Jesus, that I have good ears. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not allergic to anything. Thank you, Jesus, that my children are healthy and they don't have any major problems, that they're not, you know, have cancer or something that a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people have to struggle and go through. Like, I am constantly just so thankful and grateful. And that is a great foundation to start worshiping in spirit and in truth, is to start getting your mind off of all of the things that you're frustrated about. Start to magnify the Lord, like, put a magnifying glass on him, and he will be bigger than all of those other problems. All of the other things get so much smaller when you magnify the Lord and make him bigger than everything else. Amen. Number two, yada. Y-A-D-A-H. This word is the word praise, and it means to praise and worship with extended hands, like, pick me up, daddy. This is my favorite one. Well, no, it's not. I just do that one probably the most. It's used 114 times in the Bible. Psalm 63, for an example, says, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will, yada, lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 57, 9 says, I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your yada, your praises, among the nations. This is the same praise. This yada word is the same one with extended hands that was used in 2 Chronicles 20:21 when Jehoshaphat was sending the army forward, and he sent all of the king appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army singing to the Lord, praising or yada him for his holy splendor. Let's just lift our hands right now. Let's just do it. We just love you. We lift our hands to you, Jesus. One, even if you've never done this before, it might be the most uncomfortable thing. Just lift your hands. We love you, Jesus. We say, pick us up, Daddy. Thank you, Jesus. When I was working at a drug and alcohol rehab in Florida, there was this lady that constantly was dealing with depression. She'd stand at the altar like this. And I would go up behind her and I'm like, you know, if you lift your hands, something's going to break off of you. Just even an act. I think that's the one thing about depression, is that it, like, binds you up to sing, to move, to do anything. And so sometimes you need somebody else to just lift your hands for you. So I took her arms and I just lifted her arms for her, and she kept them up. She started to worship, and she said she could feel depression just leaving as she was lifting her hands and worshiping him. Isn't that powerful? That's proof that Jesus is actually all we need. He really has everything that we need. The third one is Shabbat. Shabbat. I don't know if that's really, but it's S-H-A-B-A-C-H, Shabbat. And this one, it means to raise a shout of praise, to shout, to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph. Woo! This one is used 11 times in the Bible. So you know how in the jungle, because I know you've all been in the jungle, you know how in the jungle there's like birds and monkeys? Such a delayed response. You know how there's like birds and monkeys and it's all loud and chaotic and there's like chirping sounds and everything's going crazy, and then the lion roars and it just causes everything to be silent? So Shabbat is the shout that brings peace. If you can think of that analogy, this is the same thing that when Jesus rebuked the sea and it became calm. Psalm 47, once, oh, clap your hands, all people, shout, or Shabbat, to God with a voice of triumph. First Chronicles 16, 35, cry out, save us, O God of our salvation, gather and rescue us from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise, or Shabbat you. So I know many times we do this in our church service, we're like, lift your voices. And I know that a lot of people are like, why are we yelling? Why are we screaming and shouting like this? Like, are we just getting crazy? No, this is biblical. Something is actually shifting in the atmosphere when we shout unto God with a voice, when we shabak, when we lift our voice. It is the shout that brings peace. Let's go ahead and do it. One, two, three. Jesus! Come on, lift your voice. You might have never shouted before, but lift your voice. You are worthy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Now, how many of you have never done that before? A couple of you. See? Look at that. Now, like I said, some of these things are uncomfortable at first because if you're not used to doing it, it's outside of your comfort zone. But the Lord needs us to step outside of our comfort zone. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. He's our comforter. He's there to hold our hand while we're stepping out on the water looking like idiots. He's never going to leave you abandoned, but I'll tell you one thing, that there is a shift that's going to happen. I believe it's the same thing that happened when Paul and Silas were sitting in the cell together with their hands tied up. When they started to lift their voice, when they started to worship and praise and shabak the Lord, not only did the chains break off of their hands, but the chains broke off of everybody else in the jail cell. And not only did they break off, but they actually got saved as well. Listen, there is something powerful in your shout. There's something powerful and unshakable when you lift your voice. And it's not just the worship leader's job. And it's not just the charismatic crazy lady. And it's not just that loud guy. It's every one of us that have that shout, that have that sound and that ability to shake things off. Pastor Holly was sharing about how, I think that was this service, where you were twirling and shouting. Yeah, okay. She was sharing about how she was in her house and something needed to shift in her house, in the atmosphere. And she said that the Lord told her just to dance and shout unto God. And so she started to. And as she did that, she saw something shift in her kids, something shifting in her house. There was automatic fruit from seeing just from lifting our voice. I know it sounds crazy. Okay, I know. I get it. We have to get outside because the foolish things are the things that confound the wise. And we have to step outside of all of the things that this culture says is normal because I'm in an outside, inside, upside down kingdom. I'm a part of something that doesn't look right, doesn't always feel normal, but it's what shifts the atmosphere. And those are the things that are going to cause people to say, I'm not saved, you're saved. I don't have fruit, you have fruit. I'm depressed, you're not depressed. You have something that I need. So we have to shake some stuff off. We have to actually, we're going to be doing this. We do this already, but now that you know what you're doing, now you have no reason not to do it with us. Now you can do it when you're at home by yourself. Now you can understand that I actually have Jesus's, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. And if that's true, then anything that I touch, anything that I ask, if I actually believe it, it will actually happen. If I need my son to come home who has been a prodigal and I start to shift the atmosphere over his life by shouting or doing something different, maybe you just need to do something new. Maybe you need to do something different for that lost one that needs to get saved or that healing that needs to happen. Something will shift in the atmosphere when you do that. This is all biblical. I'm not making it up. The fourth one is Zamar. Zamar. This one is the word praise, and it means to make music, melody, sound of creation, to pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing, to praise. Excuse me. A musical word which is largely involved with joyful expressions of music with musical instruments. So it's used 46 times in the Bible. Psalm 21:13, for an example, it says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise, or zamar, thy power." 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing to him, sing Zamar to him, speak of all of his wonders. You know, this word Zamar is the word that they use that was used whenever Jericho fell down. So there's something that happens in our musical instruments. There's a prophetic sound that comes out when we let the saxophone go, or we let the drum beat go, or we let the electric player just, and you guys have felt it. But this is what now I'm bringing revelation so that you don't just sit back and listen and enjoy it. Now you engage and you agree and you actually know that something is going on in the atmosphere. Because I know that there's been a lot of prophetic moments like this in our church, but because the knowledge of what I'm talking about is not there, a lot of you guys don't know what to do. And you know you know there's something to be done, but you don't know what it is that we're supposed to do or why we're doing that and what we're swirling on. Why are we playing that for so long? You know, so I'm giving language as to why we worship the way that we do, right? So when we allow the instruments to sing, the instruments actually have a sound to prophesy. This happened when David would play his harp over Saul, who was demonically oppressed. And then all of a sudden, he would play his harp and the demons would go. We have the ability to do this. I've seen it happen. I've seen it many times. People start manifesting demonically just from an instrument being played. Or start singing a certain phrase and all of a sudden people start getting free of demons. This is the power that we have on the inside of us. This is the power that you have on the inside of you. Not just the people on a platform. Every person in this room has the ability to walk in this kind of anointing, to walk in this kind of power and confidence. And it's really just a revelation, you know. He's already done it at the cross. It's already been done. You know, that's the majority of what inner healing and deliverance is. It's just bringing you into revelation. Helping to take all the lies away so that you can actually believe truth. The truth didn't change. The truth was always there since he died on the cross for us. So we just grab a hold of it. We grab a hold of truth. So join in with us. I believe that when we play, there are walls that are going to fall down. That walls that will fall down in your family. Walls that will fall down even that we sometimes feel and hear. Prophetically playing and giving room for those moments to happen and swirl and swell is spiritual. So join in with those moments. Amen? The fifth one is Barak, B-A-R-A-K, and it means to bless, to kneel, be prostrate, to bow down, receiving the blessing, and leave different, to bless God as an act of adoration. Now, this one is actually used 330 times in the Bible. For an example, Psalm 34:1, I will bless or barak the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's a very common one. A lot of us know that one. And that probably, I would have thought, could have been any of the other ones. I would not have thought that that was the one that meant to kneel down and receive something. So this is basically what it is. Barak is kneeling like you're kneeling before a king, and then he like dubs you. And then you get back up and you have something different on you. So you have a transformation. There's an exchange that happens in the laying prostrate, in the bowing down before him. There is a giving of something, a releasing of something, and there is him giving us something that we get up and we're changed. So that's what Barak means. And it says that's the Barak, that's the praise that's used on, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. I will lay prostrate before the Lord at all times, or I will kneel and receive and have this transaction. Psalm 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel or barak before the Lord our maker. 1 Chronicles 29:20, then David said to all the assembly, now barak or bless the Lord your God. And all of the assembly baraked, knelt down, the Lord and the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. There's going to be a lot of moments, and I know that a lot of people in this room, you see that one person or that those 20 people in this room at least, that are always on their face. They're always, that's just where they always go. And I want to encourage you that there is actually a transaction that God wants to give you if we will actually move. Did you know that love is an action word? There is something that comes action-wise on our part to show God that we love him. And worship is, in my opinion, like one of the biggest ways that we can do that. And I know that there's a lot of extensions of worship. I know that giving is worship. I know that feeding the homeless is worship. And I'm talking just within the context this morning of praise and worship, according to these seven Hebrew words. But I really want to encourage you that when you're feeling that nudge to go a little bit deeper in worship, do something new. Get on your knees. Maybe you've never done that before. Get out from your seat and lift your hands. maybe even come to the front. You know, like, do something new. Because if you want to see something different in your life and you want to see God move in a new way, I really believe we need to do a new thing. I really believe that sometimes it takes us stepping out and even in faith. And again, like I say, these are all not just suggestions. These are actually commands from the Lord, like, worship the Lord your God in this way. So it kind of doesn't matter what you want to do. It doesn't matter how you feel. This is what we're supposed to do. And I guarantee you that when you actually respond out of these ways, that you will receive something from the Lord. The next one is Tehillah. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H, Tehillah. And this one is to sing a new song, a praise, or a hymn, declarative boast, hymns of the Spirit. This one's used 57 times in the Bible. So Psalm 22:3, for an example, yet thou art holy, O Lord, who art enthroned upon the praises, or Tehillah, of Israel. He is enthroned upon our spontaneous prophetic worship. Like I mentioned earlier, we're taking these next 2 months, at the very least, to really just swirl in a place of prophetic, spontaneous worship where we're cultivating our own love song to the Lord. I've used this analogy in the past, like a Hallmark card. Like, you know how when you go buy a card for somebody and you find something that's... It's actually funny because I'm not a very emotional person. I say that a lot. But like, one of the few things that make me get a little choked up is when I'm picking out like a card for my mom or like a card for my dad or my husband. But those are the three things that when I'm reading the card, I'm like, this is exactly how I feel. I'm just so glad I found this card. And so I get that there's times you read words on a screen and you say, yes, yes, I want, yes, that's my heart cry. I'm singing that. Yes, Lord. And you agree with it, and that's all good. And we're going to continue to do that because it brings unity in the room. Do you know the purpose of us coming together and worshiping together is for us to unify, to be family? So actually, reading the words on the screen is not bad, but we will always make room for you to sing your own song because that's the part he loves to hear. He's enthroned upon that part. That's the part he's actually like, ooh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. I can't wait for them to sing their own song. I just want to know what's on her heart. Like, I know what Chris Tomlin thinks about me. He tells me all the time. I want to know what you think. You know? Psalm 71:8. That is why I can never stop tehillahing you or praising you. I declare your glory all day long. I believe that this is where praying without ceasing comes in. When we're constantly worshiping, when we're constantly singing, we're just giving him our love, giving him our praise, giving him our worship. That is tehillah. And he's enthroned on that. He loves it. Amen? We're going to step into some worship in a little bit here again. We're going to give you guys an opportunity to start to practice these. I have one last one. This one is halal. H-A-L-A-L. And this one means to boast foolishly in love, act madly in love, going nuts. This is used 165 times in the Bible. So for an example, whenever they saw Sarah and Pharaoh was like, when the palace officials in Genesis, when they saw her, they sang her praises. They halaled to Pharaoh about Sarah and how beautiful she was. Another example is Psalm 22:22. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise or halal you among your assembled people. Psalm 44:8. Oh God, we give you glory to you all day long and constantly halal your name. Can we have the worship team come up? Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Other translations say this is your true and proper worship, or truly the way to worship him, spiritual service of worship. The KJV says reasonable service, reasonable way to worship him. I want to say this to you. This is the passion. Beloved Summit at Edmonton family, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. If I can beseech you and beg you to worship Him the way that He deserves, it would be to halal Him. It would be to give Him some tequila praise. It would be to barak Him. It would be to implement all of these awesome Hebrew words that I probably won't remember, but I know what they are, and I know how to express them because it's what He loves. And sometimes we have to step outside of what our preferences are or what's comfortable to us because He's worthy beyond that. Like I said earlier, I'm sure it wasn't comfortable for Him to get up on a cross for you. But we have to step outside. It's the least that we can do. It's the least that you can give Him to lift your hands. It's the least you can give Him to open your mouth and shout. It's the least you can give Him to present your mouth, not just your left hand, but your right hand too, your left leg and your right leg, your whole entire body, every part of your being, to give Him in worship. Sometimes we need to give Him just more than just our time, our the allotted time of Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights to express our worship. When was the last time you sacrificed your pride to give Him what He is worthy of? When was the last time you sacrificed your reputation to give Him what He deserves? Your reputation of being solemn, or the pride that you have to be dignified. You know, Jesus was a man of no reputation just for me. He laid aside all of the reputation, all of the fear of man. When was the last time you sacrificed your fear of man to let your body, soul, and spirit worship Him the way they were always created to worship? Let's swirl on something. And we're going to just go into a place. And I want to beseech you that in this moment and the moments here on after, that you make the conscious decision that I'm going to give Him what He's worthy every time. No matter what I feel, no matter whether it's the song that I like, whether I'm tired, whether I'm energetic, no matter what it looks like. Can we just go ahead and stand? I want you to ask the Lord in this moment. We're going to worship for a little bit. I don't want to dismiss quite yet, but I want to worship for a little bit. And before we get going, I just want you to take a couple minutes and ask the Lord, what do you desire from me? What worship can I give you that you take delight in? I take worship off myself now, God. I make it not about what I like and not about what I want, but I want to give you what you're worthy of, and I want to do what it is you like. Do you like it when I dance? Do you like it when I sing? Do you like it when I lift my hands? I just want you to ask the Lord, how would you like me to step outside of my comfort zone and give you something more than I've ever given you before? Come on, just ask Him that. Every person in this room, just close your eyes and say, God, what kind of worship can I give you that will show you how much more I love you? Come on, just listen to His reply. What can I give you, God? Some of you have danced in the past for the Lord and you haven't in a long time. Some of you have lifted your voices before, but something has become dormant. And like we were singing earlier, there is a song that unlocks a box on the inside of you that I believe He wants to re-unlock this morning. So whatever it is He said He wants you to do, I just break the fear of man off of you right now. I break the pride of caring what people might think, and I release you in this house to worship the way that you were created to, the way that would give Him glory, the way that He desires, the way that He deserves. So whatever that looks like, we're going to enter into worship, and I want you to be released. You are free.